If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Did you gain all the weight back that you lost?
I'm wearing that one you gave
Why,
me.
Why, I look fat already?
Huh? No. You weren't fat to begin with. You lost muscle because you had the shits, and now you seem to have gained it back.
No, just this shirt's small.
You did that all with one sandwich.
Don't downplay it.
No, bro, I'm down.
Don't downplay it.
I haven't been to the gym in
You know what happened to me if I lost 15 pounds? Mm. It would take me 5 years to gain it back. That's
I'm afraid of that.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of that because we have...
Let me see your calves. Pull up your pants.
No, I don't. It's just tibia right now.
Let me see your calves, bro.
It's nothing but tibia.
Have they gone away?
Let me see, let me see the calves.
You put so much work into those.
Let me see the calves.
They're gone, bro. Already, look at
it.
Gone.
You know what? When you pull your pants up, like when you start to get close to your knee, I can see the end of the other thing too.
Yeah, look at that, dude.
It's like a little
just a tip.
Hey guys. Hey,
a little mushroom tip. Keep running your mouth, bro. I'm gonna mushroom stamp you. Right on your forehead.
Whoa.
I used to be
ready for FedEx.
That was my when I was a big
Was that your signature move?
Well no, when I was a big gamer, when I used to play video games semi professionally.
See these guys walking around with bruise of like a little like mushroom on their head.
Did you weren't a gamer, weren't you? Did you play video games?
No.
Justin, you did for a while.
Yeah.
That's
weird that I'm the nerd, but I didn't play video games.
Yeah.
It's not really nerdy anymore.
Well, they're kind of athletic too. That's why.
It's because it's competitive.
It's athletic.
Yeah.
No. It
takes a lot of hand skill.
It's another outlet.
Hand-eye coordination.
Don't be mistaken. It's competitive. I'm very competitive.
Okay. Yes, no,
extremely competitive.
Well, then you would have done well. Video game wise. Yeah,
I like video games.
Is.
I'll say this. I could play if we played a game that neither one of us has ever played. I'm pretty fucking badass.
You know what I would love?
But you practice more the same game.
Oh, so we all start at ground zero.
If we start at ground, because naturally, my natural capacity for hand-eye brain coordination is
Well, we should all take up badminton.
You know, yeah, right.
No. Nothing physical. I'm talking about video games.
This is what I'm thinking.
Nothing physical.
Wait, did you? Okay. What did you say? Shuttle?
Yeah.
What's a shuttlecock?
I'm banging the shuttlecock around.
Oh, is that the little birdie thing?
Yeah.
It's called a shuttlecock?
Shuttlecock, man. It's the...
That's awesome.
It's the sexiest sport ever.
That's great.
It's like a spaceship.
I bought this like, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, maybe longer. I bought all the original Nintendo console and everything. So
yes.
We should bust that out sometime.
We should.
And maybe we'll do an Olympic thing like where it's Duck Hunt. We'll do like I think I have the track one
we'll
too.
We'll just trade off who dies in Mario first.
Yeah. We'll have a little competition, see how everybody
Can't
does.
Do Zelda. That takes like 5 years.
So because you were the younger brother, you were probably Luigi all the time, right, Justin?
Fuck you.
You were, weren't you? Yeah. That's how you
it
know.
It worked because I was like, you know, my favorite color is green. So I was like, yeah, whatever, Mario.
I think psychologically you made that your favorite color, so you felt better about being Luigi all the time.
Maybe.
Yeah, I hated Luigi because he was a skinny one.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to be Luigi.
I know. It is kind of like you just got shit Italian on being Luigi.
Because if it was real life, I would be Luigi.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of looks like you, actually. You know what? Yeah. That would be
just
a good
get a
little,
mustache. That would be a great costume.
It would
for
be
you,
a great Halloween costume for you.
It's slightly racist, a little bit.
It's all you have
racist.
To do is grow a mustache.
A little bit profiling, just a little bit. Yeah.
You just need some overalls and a mustache, and you'd be set, dude.
He's like, it's a go.
Speaking of mushrooms, huh?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
There's a lot of you ever, you know, as you get older, you start to look at shit and you go, wow, they were talking about drugs, weren't they?
Yeah, right. Like
you know
they
I mean?
Take mushrooms and they're just like
and they grow and then they fucking shrink.
And they eat this plant and all of a sudden they're breathing fire.
Pretty much all music. Pretty much all music from 1960 to like 1980. All of them had like hidden messages like that, right?
All of them.
Bro, yeah. You catch a star, you're invincible.
Yeah.
All of them are shit.
Most all of them are some trip right there singing about.
I don't know.
So who's gonna go we're talking right now on the eve of the Star Wars release.
Oh my God, I'm so nervous.
So I need you to keep your hands out of your pants while we talk about this, Justin. It's really fucking weird.
I'm surprised.
Literally, like, yeah. No, it's under, like, I'm going to be geared out, but I'm going to wait. I'm that guy that shows up fully regaliaed out. I just don't want to reveal my nerd too early.
Are you honestly, like, explain the excitement that you have for this. Is it comparable to, like, when you were a kid on Christmas? Is it like,
absolutely.
Oh my God, my child's going to be born? Like, what kind of excitement are you feeling?
Probably both those combined.
For me,
is that okay? Is that okay to say?
No.
That's awesome.
I can't say that.
He's like, it's like the first time a girl touched my wiener.
It's kind of similar, though. Yeah, it's like, it's this tingly that goes and from by the like, way, my toes all the way up through my balls.
And by the way, that's the least sexy thing you could ever call your dick is a wiener.
A wiener?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's guaranteed you're not going to get any.
I don't call it wiener.
Yeah. Like, hey, baby.
It's almost as bad when I ask
you. I'm going to pull out my wiener.
My ham
hock. It's almost as bad as when I asked you when you had to go to the restroom the other day if you had to go pee-pee. You had to go pee-pee. We're about to start. We're about to fire up, and Sal takes off. Hey, where you going,
dude? Let's go pee-pee.
You gotta go pee-pee or what? He turns around, looks at me. What did you just fucking say?
Actually, you said it in a very like ethnic way, like my dad would say it, because you know, like in other countries.
Oh, you know what was it? The irony is that you said it, because I could see us saying that. Yeah, you know, with kids. Like,
I said potty. Yeah, that's what it was.
You had to go potty.
Yeah, it was potty.
Potty. Yeah, let's all go potty.
So you had to go potty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what I said.
When you were kids, did you guys ever? This is I don't even know why I'm going here, but I'm going to. Did you ever do this with your when you guys were young? I'm sure you had friends that were, you know, your buddies, your cousins or whatever. Mm. Did you guys ever like pee to see who could pee the furthest?
Of course.
Do shit like
and the
that?
Longest. Yeah. Who could get the furthest in their name? Like you try to spell your whole name.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that?
God, we're gross. Boys are gross.
You ever just drop and then pee in the middle of the road just because you could? And you're like,
I did that last week.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't even drunk. I was like, you know, a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but you know, like boys are gross. They're just gross.
They just do that.
I don't
stuff.
Think it's gross. I think it's important that you do those things.
Yeah, man.
Well, think about it. Think about it this way. You handle your dick at a very young age. So you're very comfortable with it. You know what I mean? You pull it out, you piss everywhere. Girls are not like that. Girl, everything's inside. So they're not in touch with themselves. Like,
I think
maybe
so.
it's a disadvantage for them.
Well, I think some women would disagree with you too. I think girls still venture around and are trying to figure out what's going on.
But they don't have to grab it every time they go to the bathroom.
Well, my best friend was a girl growing up too, and like she wanted to
touch your dick
outside.
Oh
no, dude, I was young. Okay, come on, man. Yeah,
hey.
No, she'd always try and pee just like me. And I was like, it doesn't
standing.
Work like that. Yeah,
it
so,
didn't work.
Before we fired up right now, I was just trolling on Instagram. And someone just recently tagged all three of us on a Joe Donnelly post. And his post was I think he was referring to if it fits your macros type of post. Yeah, I know.
If it fits your macros.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a funny picture. He had a picture of his cute little dog he just had. And it says, when someone says they still eat tilapia and fasted cardio, and then all of a sudden it triggered this whole debate between him and a bunch of people, and now of course we're tagged to come over. And you know, people always want, I have to tell you guys this, like when we have somebody on the show, especially a Joe, I like Joe a lot, I have a slight man crush on him.
Yes you do.
But
I totally would not have guessed that.
Dude, why are you such a jealous little girl? You're such
he doesn't
jealous.
Like that.
I don't like him more than you.
I don't even care.
Listen, I don't, bro. I don't like him
listen,
more than you.
I don't even care. I'm just hanging out with Justin now, so I don't even care.
When I'm with other people, I talk about you the same way.
We do more things
I talk about
outside
you
the show.
The same way.
Listen, I don't care. It's okay, bro.
You do care.
I'm good. No, because I'm hanging out with Justin now. It's
you do
right.
care. Every time.
Yeah.
Every time I say Joe's name, beautiful. Joe's name, he gets all butthurt, dude, all the time. We'll be texting in our thing back and forth, like, whatever, dude. Joe doesn't even know this. And then he'll quote some crazy study. Joe doesn't even know this.
That's not what I say. Shut up.
He tries to impress me with all these crazy stuff.
I like that little shrug
he does.
Add to that.
That's what he does. Joe doesn't even know this.
And I whip my hair around.
Yeah, I knew this like 3 years ago. Like, Joe doesn't even know this.
Whatever.
So back on the subject. So what's the deal? So is this the whole calories not a or calories a calorie type
deal?
The
thing
is that what they're saying?
Well, what we got tagged on was a statement that Joe made that, you know, sometimes Joe's multitasking, so I'm sure he doesn't read his own messages that he puts up there.
Adam's balls deep in his schedule. You notice
that? But he referred to, that everything that we eat is processed. It's all the same, and a calorie's a calorie type of deal, and basically a protein's a protein, a carb's a carb.
Oh, you know what? I read that. He said something like the body only recognizes proteins, fats, and carbs.
Basically, he was referring to a Burger King burger is the same as if you were to go and get a meat, you know, your own ground beef at the grocery store and grind it up and make your own patty.
Right.
And yeah. So this is the problem that I have with IIFYM. We don't bash it very much because I feel like
done properly, the philosophy done properly, like when we talk to Nick Cheadle, his philosophy is, look, it's more sustainable because it gives you a little bit more flexibility. It's the problem is the people that take that to the next fucking level, and all they care about is proteins, fats, and carbs.
Right. Yeah,
they don't care about anything else. It becomes a
justification of all these other like highly processed foods and things to, you know, keep regular in the diet.
Right, and literally, and look, here, and I actually made a post about this the other day. I made a post about foods that are inflammatory and foods that are not inflammatory, and some girl gets on there. Who she loves her. I think her goal in life is to go on, you know, our posts and to say the opposite of what we say. But anyway, she goes on there.
We'll always have one of those.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, she was trying to debate me or whatever. Where'd you get these? And I'm like, actually, these are Harvard from Harvard University. And
she claimed that wasn't a qualified.
Yeah, she's like, where's your references? I'm like, it's fucking Harvard. Like, oh, but they don't list any references. I'm like, Harvard's its own fucking reference.
Like, yeah, they actually like produced the study.
Yeah,
yeah. But they have students doing it.
But you know, when they talk about, you know, how she was saying basically how, well, I don't like to demonize foods. We shouldn't make some foods bad and some foods good.
Some foods are fucking bad.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Yeah.
Some are bad. Just fucking,
whoa, why? Yeah.
Listen,
no.
Listen.
Don't say that.
This is the real world. Sometimes shit is bad and sometimes shit is good. You need to know that. Now, if you want to choose to sometimes have bad food, then fucking do it and take the be responsible. Be like, I'm eating this donut. I know it's not good for me, but it's okay every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Exactly.
But don't lie to yourself.
It's not a lifestyle.
Lie to yourself. This is like the culture of today in America where you can't say things are bad because nothing is bad. Everything's okay. No, some shit is bad.
Right. Yeah.
And when it comes to food, a calorie is not a calorie. It's a fucking fact. Look, they just came out. This is an incredible new study. This just recently made the news, I believe last month, where they found that air pollution contributes to diabetes, fat gain, insulin resistance, a whole slew of things.
Right.
Air pollution is not calories. That's not calories at all.
Yeah.
And when people take that approach that a calorie is a calorie, they're ignoring, and everything's just proteins, fats, and carbs. Right. You're ignoring that food is so much more than proteins, fats, and carbs. It's so much more than that.
That's the part that irritates me the most with the fit your macros thing. It's exactly what, I mean, you couldn't hit it on better. I mean, because it's hard for me, and I don't take an opposed stance to it so often, because I think if somebody were to look at how I live and how I eat, it would reflect that. It would reflect the con. I just had a Five Guys burger just the other night. You know,
but you're not telling yourself, this is a fine option because it fits my so therefore this is healthy.
Let me tell you exactly how this went down. It was, you know, Katrina sends me a message right before she's coming home from work. I've lined up my food all day long. I've been eating really clean. In fact, I was behind on calories and food. I haven't had a burger in weeks, maybe even a couple months now. And she's like, I haven't had one either. We've been craving one. So we're like, I'm going to have one because I can. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because I haven't had one in a long time. I don't believe in depriving yourself of your certain things, especially when you have good balance in your diet and you do eat very clean and well majority of the time, then I'm going to allow something like that. So then someone else would see that and they go like, oh, so you follow if it fits your macros. Like, no, I don't believe that either. I don't go around preaching that you can eat whatever the fuck you want as long as the macronutrients measure up the same. Mm-hmm. Because if you took, and let's just take a Five Guy burger, for example, and I'm just going to, off the top of my head, I believe it's right around 600, 700 calories, total calories, the fat somewhere between 50 and 75 grams of fat. And the protein is somewhere between 40 and 45. Now, if you're telling me that, and I could, and I can give you a rough idea of what that would look like super clean, like that's about a chicken breast and a half, a salad, an ounce of walnuts, avocado, and then my carbohydrate source, let's just say I have 8 ounces of sweet potato, and that would pretty much be pretty close as far as lining
the
my
macros, right?
I tell you right now what you're getting beneficial wise coming from that chicken, walnuts, avocado, that salad and everything, that you are not getting all that shit in that Five Guys burger. And that's the part that drives me fucking nuts. Not to mention that even then you can take it to the next level and see what those things were eating, because then we go, if you're talking about organic chicken and everything you're eating clean on the clean side, and that processed shit that's coming from a restaurant or like that, what's being fed to that cow? You know, the makeup is different. That protein is different. That protein isn't the same because of what it's been consuming.
Well, if you take people and you have them eat the exact same calories and macronutrients, exactly the same, except one person's eating, you know, quote, healthy food, you know, vegetables and, you know, organic foods, natural whole foods, and the other person's eating highly processed foods. Follow them over time. Just give them enough time and watch and look at their health.
Right.
And you can't tell me then health doesn't affect things like fat storage and muscle gain and muscle loss. Chemicals. We know now that there's xenoestrogens, which are chemicals that mimic estrogens that will cause the body to store more body fat. No extra calories needed. We also know, even if I go down to a basic level, this study has been duplicated several times. If you take someone and you take the fat out of the diet and replace it, or take some of the fat out of the diet and replace it with medium chain triglycerides, it's still fat grams, but the person with medium chain triglycerides will get leaner. They've done this several times in studies. Same fat grams, same number. Mm-hmm. It's just a different, you know, makeup of what kind of fat you're consuming.
Yeah. I mean, that's the real point, is that like it's on a chemical level that we're dealing with, and just to breeze over that and to look at it as a whole, you know, it's just ridiculous to me. I mean, if you're trying to create and promote health, you know, that's one thing. If you're trying to create and promote like an aesthetic and a look, you know, that's another point. But, you know, you're not going to have success with health if you're just looking at it from a macro perspective. And you're not looking at the micronutrients. You're not looking at diversity of nutrients. You're not looking at where, you know, the source is, where you're getting it from. You know, pesticides, all these crunchy, grainy, you know, hippie ideals that people used to scoff at, you know, guess what? There's some truth to that shit, you know? And if you're just going to like muscle your way over that, you know, that's dinosaur way of thinking. Like, let's all like consider this, because, you know, it is affecting your health, and they have shown that.
Well, I think if you, you know, and I understand the whole, you know, I need to have balance in my life type of deal. It's important. I think the most important, thing that we're talking about here is to be informed. Once you're informed and you understand things, and then you make decisions based off of that, that's healthy. If you ignore things and say it's only about macros, that's not healthy. If you're in the other direction where you become, you know, I don't remember what the term is, orthorexia, I think is a term, where people are so concerned about eating healthy that it's actually an eating disorder. That is also unhealthy. Mm-hmm. I think if you inform yourself and you're educated on, you know, what's good, what's not good, you look at the big things first, right? Number one is calories. Right. Then you move to the next big thing, which is macronutrients. But then you move down the list and there's things that are very important as well. You gotta be informed. And then you make those decisions and you move forward and watch your health.
Well, I feel like in how much of this was Lane Norton? Now, was he the first person to put a stamp on it? Or was he a part of actually creating the term, if it fits your macros? Do you know?
I don't, but I think
I know he's one of the pioneers for sure. If he wasn't the actual creator of the acronym and created the whole diet, I know he's one of the first.
Well, it was a move in the right direction, right? It got people to consider.
That's why I was going that direction. Yeah. I was about to say that I feel like, you know, his intentions were well. You know what I'm saying? I feel like the person. I mean, I think it's one of the best diets that are out there. If we were to compare diet to diet, you know, if I'm taking apart all these different diets, I think it has one of the best foundations, the best concepts. But like all of them, they're all flawed. That's the problem about a diet. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And living that way. You know, eating clean and trying your hardest to always eat clean, but to not be so crazy about it that you're not gonna get depressed and beat yourself up over, or go run on a treadmill for 5 hours after you have one burger because you did it one time or whatever. No, that would be just as bad, right? That's just an issue as somebody who's got an obesity issue and cannot put food down, you know. So both extremes are bad, but and I like the concept of the balance, but that's just it, is most people don't follow it that way. I know even people listening right now that they are going like, oh no, it's not me. Well, if you solely are watching those macros, you have that tendency you start putting things in your diet every day that are either a Pop-Tart or this or that, like, and you need
or
to really
bars or yeah, lots of, you know,
exactly
shit.
Pull yourself out and take a shot and, you know, ask yourself, when was the last time I strung 2 or 3 days together where I actually didn't eat anything out of a wrapper? Yeah. If you haven't gone 2 or 3 days and not ate something out of a wrapper, you're eating a little more than you need to as far as processed foods, you know?
I'll tell you the extreme of this too is like, you guys heard of that Soylent protein?
I have.
Okay, so
That's like the rage in like the city, right around Silicon here. Valley, yeah.
Exactly. So this is all for like developers and people that are behind the computer all day and they just want to keep hacking away and they don't want to be slowed down by food because it's so inconvenient, right? So basically, this guy created it and put all the essential, you know, nutrients in there to keep you going, in a sense.
People are living off of it.
And people are actually living off this. And it's just a powder. It has very minimal taste, right? So that way it doesn't overwhelm the palate. However, you know, when this guy was interviewed, all these markers and everything showed great sustainability as far as, you know, mass and muscle and all this kind of stuff. However, they asked him a question like about the markers for the gut flora, and it did not come back with very great results.
No, at all. No, it'll keep you alive.
It'll keep you alive.
That's the thing. Yeah. You won't starve to death.
But you're not thriving on
this. But give it enough time. Look, the human body is so complex. We're still learning about how it interacts with its environment and how it interacts with the food that we eat and how the environment within our body interacts with all these things. We're still learning about these things. We know how to keep someone, you know, from dying of malnutrition. Mm-hmm. We know how to keep someone dying from, you know, deficiencies. But we still a lot of times don't know what causes a lot of cancers. We don't know what causes a lot of autoimmune diseases. Right. We don't know what causes a lot of metabolic, you know, diseases where mitochondria as cells aren't operating like they should. We still don't know a lot of these things, and part of it's genetic, but like everything human, I'm sure part of it's genetic, but a lot of it's environmental. And so we don't understand these things. So sitting here and pretend that we know all this shit and we're just saying, oh, no. Look at this bar. It's perfect macros. It's got every vitamin and mineral you need. Mm-hmm. Just eat this and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
We're being very arrogant.
Yeah, very arrogant.
We've got massive, and like humans typically do, we have these huge egos where we think we fucking know everything. Eventually science will figure it out, but we're not there yet at all. We're definitely not there yet, you know, and we're trying to compete with millions of years of evolution.
Important. Yeah. Food science, very important. You know, the progress we've made as far as like beating famine and all these things, with the seasons
we've made huge progress.
We've developed all these foods to fit, you know, to our liking, bigger, sweeter, more delicious.
Well, here's the deal. Look at the food that you eat. Okay. It's probably contains corn. It probably contains wheat. There's probably some dairy somewhere. If you look at the foods that what we grow, potatoes, we humans did a really good job of picking foods that we could grow in mass quantities.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what our diet consists of now. Foods that are harder to grow, that are a little more wild, we don't harvest them the same. We don't grow them the same, so therefore they're not big parts of our diet. Organ meats. How many people, you go to the grocery store, you're going to see lots of fucking chicken breast, chicken thigh, chicken, you know, drumsticks. You're going to see no chicken, you know, gizzards, livers. You're not going to see, you know, cow, kidney. You're not going to see any of that stuff. That stuff that we ate for most of human civilization. Mm-hmm. There's lots of things in there that's good for you.
Right.
And I'm not saying you go out and go eat those things, but I'm just giving you an example where we pretend to know, you know, what we absolutely need and we don't. We're not dying from food poisoning and malnutrition anymore, but now the smaller things are starting to catch up and we're starting to get issues, you know, with a lot of things. And I view it, this is a lot of the way I view it, okay? You know, sitting there and solely focusing on calories and macros, in and of itself, it sounds like it was a rebellion towards the bodybuilding lifestyle, which was, you know, chicken breast, tilapia, broccoli, and rice or whatever every single day. So that was kind of a rebellion. But even just counting, your macros and your calories is wrong. Because when I look at nutrition and I talk to like children about nutrition, because I used to volunteer and I would go to, you know, fourth and fifth grade classes and talk about nutrition. Mm. I don't tell them about, you know, to focus on calories and macros. I explain what the macros are. I explain what calories are. But you start telling a child, don't eat too many calories, or you got to eat more proteins, more fats, or less carbs, or whatever.
You give them a complex.
You create issues.
Yeah.
What do I focus on? I focus on what foods
give you energy, what foods give you strength. Right.
What they do for you. Yeah, I focus on the health aspects of it.
Yeah.
And it's actually, believe it or not, if you have a home full of healthy, whole foods, you're less likely, and you let kids go rampant, eat whenever you're hungry, you're going to have way less obesity,
even though
they're not counting shit.
For sure.
You'll have way less obesity, way less health problems because the home is filled and full of healthy foods. Think about you, yourself. Think of the listener right now. Think about this. You're at home. You want to snack on something. You're hungry. But all that's available are fruits, vegetables, nuts, maybe a little bit of nuts, and foods you have to prepare yourself.
Right.
Now, compare that to I have bags of chips, I have Pop-Tarts, I have protein bars
and everything
protein
else,
powders. Yeah. Think about that now.
It's way too convenient.
Which one is more likely, which scenario is more likely to make you overeat and eat unhealthy, right?
Well, you know, this is also something that was, that we took into consideration when we created the Nutrition Survival Guide. The idea was, you know, sure, we could write a diet. I could write a million diets and plans for people to help them lose weight or build muscle or what like that. That's generic and formulated, which is all over the place. But that was one of the things that we all refused to do. What we wanted to do was bring the science that we do know out there as far as what foods are healthy for multiple reasons, not just because of how much protein is found in this food, but because of the vitamins and minerals that you're getting in and the other essential things that we don't really focus and talk about.
Right.
Now, maybe you're not going to get that in depth in it, but that's how it was created. It was created to help people choose foods to follow that path. Now, does that mean you can't have a burger here or there, or we wouldn't, you know, just because we don't have that in there as part of the meal plan or whatever. Yeah. It's not that.
It's not about the restrictive aspect. It's about focusing on what is healthy and benefits you. Like, focus more on that. You know, of course there's going to be scenarios and family events and all these things, and you're craving something, you know, whatever you're going to crave, you're going to eat. It's not going to, you know, damage you, as long as you stick with your foresight of like, okay, I got to get back on this. What's benefiting me the most.
Right.
And that's my mentality. I want to optimize, you know, I want to benefit myself internally. So that way it creates that better performance when I go to, you know, my fitness and my training and movement.
Even thinking. But, you know, it also does this. It also changes the connection you have to food when you're educated on it. Let me explain.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the average person might eat healthy, go to a party, eat, you know, lots of pasta, bread, whatever, and then not pay attention and not notice that the next day that they're stiff and inflamed. They just don't notice it because they're not making the connection. But then they become educated on food and how it affects the body, and now they start to make connections. That's another motivator to eat healthy. I have a client right now who, you know, she watched her calories and watched her macros religiously. Gradually over time, I got her to change her thinking and to eat, you know, healthier. Then she went to a naturopath who took her off sugar and did a bunch of things, and it was specific to her. And no more aches and pains. She'll go to an event, eat some of these foods, notice the aches and pains. And she's like, I never noticed that before. I never noticed that connection of how I felt aside from weight gain. Like, she noticed the weight gain, but she didn't notice the other things. Like, my mind is clearer. You know, I think better. I'm in better moods. My hormones seem to be better. So now that she makes that connection, she admittedly says, I'm far more motivated to eat this way because I've connected it to all these other things aside from gaining some body fat or not. It changes the whole conversation.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh no, for sure. It's, you know, it's pretty crazy to me. The way people, I think if we just focused on eating clean and trying your best, always to try your best, and then you never sacrifice those birthdays or that, you know, dinner out with your husband on Friday night or whatever, and ate like a normal human being and didn't restrict and just enjoyed yourself in moderation and in control and education, understanding how you should probably eat, what foods you should definitely consume at that meal, and then go ahead, enjoy yourself, have a glass of wine, have a little dessert, mm-hmm. and that. And then the rest of the time when you're working, you're busy, you're doing something, you're making it an effort to make good choices, you'd be amazed how good a shape. And then if you include resistance training in there, like, just those things alone would literally keep like a majority of people very healthy and pretty damn fit.
Well, you said it's just like your ritual, right? It's your ritual, and it's the same thing I do with warming up, right? You know, I had to make it a ritual. I had to focus on that because I know it's going to benefit my workout, and it's going to benefit the way I feel, and my joints are going to, you know, they're not going to be give me those aches and pains. You know, as far as like treating my body right, you know, I got to do the same thing. I got to make a ritual during the week, especially because if I don't create that ritual as far as like how I'm eating and how I'm getting my nutrients, you know, it's going to affect me and it's going to have detrimental effects. And then I'll go into the weekend and then, you know, that's where things get really crazy. And I, you know, the excess comes in and all that. But, you know, that's the one thing, like, as long as my week, like, I'm super focused on doing the right thing.
Well, you know, you said something earlier, Adam, about like what your food eats. You know, you got to pay attention to what your food eats. Here's the deal. Like, if I get beef that's regular, you know, mass produced, you know, beef, and I compare that to grass fed beef, okay, grass fed organic beef, there is a difference. they have a different fatty acid profile. There will be, you know, more inflammatory fatty acids in the mass produced beef versus the grass fed beef. You could taste the difference. Eat grass. Look, grass fed beef is not as delicious as grain fed beef. Well, it's true. You know, back in the day, I don't know if you guys knew this.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it was more expensive to get grain fed beef.
Right.
Because
it's more tough a little bit.
It tasted better. Grass-fed beef.
More tough.
Right. It's got a different fatty acid profile. Even if they have the same macronutrients.
Yeah, but explain to people in your nerdy way, so I could break it down in a dumber way in just a minute, is the difference of what that does in your diet when it comes to inflammatory issues and making sure you have an even amount of sixes and threes. And in your head, you're consuming meat. So in your head, you think you're having a balance to that.
Well, that inflammatory response that you get from having imbalanced fatty acid profiles or lots of different reasons. It could be chemicals, sugars, inflammatory. Starches can be inflammatory. You know, gut imbalances can cause lots of inflammation. Inflammation is kind of like, if you think of dominoes, that first domino that goes down that causes this cascading events of things that happen in your body, which are all the other dominoes. That first domino, a lot of times, is inflammation. Once that inflammatory, domino goes down, then the next domino goes down and it goes down the list, and you get all kinds of different problems. Systemic inflammation causes heart disease. It can cause heart attacks. It can cause insulin resistance. Of course, autoimmune disorders. Everything from rheumatoid arthritis to Crohn's disease.
Mm-hmm.
Inflammation on its own can trigger autoimmune disorder. So in other words, I can be perfectly healthy, get massively inflamed from something, even an infection, and trigger, boom, now I have what seems to be Crohn's disease, for example. So inflammation is an important thing to pay attention to. And fatty acids are, because fatty acids and fats are what turn into prostaglandins, which are what make these inflammatory signals and chemicals. If the balance of them is off, if you have too many nines and sixes and not enough threes, for example, you're going to have more of the inflammatory chemicals that cause inflammation. Now, you don't want no inflammation. We've talked about this in the past. Inflammation is an important signal in the body.
Well, I want to
stop. But it needs to be balanced.
I want to stop you right there and explain something that I know that a lot of people get this, because I know you guys have probably had lots of clients. Most people probably, or not most, there's probably a good majority of you, especially if you've had a chiropractor or some sort of a doctor that has told you this, but most physicians recommend an omega-3 for this reason. Now, here's the thing that, like.
Unless you eat a lot of fish. If you eat a typical Western diet, you probably are low.
Yeah, and probably need to supplement with omega-3. Okay, so that's the first step. So maybe you're listening right now and you already do that. Well, here's some new science to me that I didn't know. So I'm always fascinated with sharing new information that I didn't quite understand until recent. Was that, now let's say you take your omega-3s, but if you still don't change your diet the way it was before, and you're eating, like, let's say, for example, like this processed beef, and you're getting a ton of six and nines, well, the cell, you can only get so much of the fatty acids in there. So what happens is they're competitive against each other. And guess which ones win? The sixes and nines will always beat out the threes. So even if you're taking this fish foil, if you're already over consuming on the sixes and nines, you don't allow that.
Well, no, it's not a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
It's not a Band-Aid.
So just taking that, you're basically wasting your money on those if you're not also changing the diet.
Right.
The idea is that you try and make healthier choices on top of that, plus you add those omega-3s in there, then you're going to see a huge benefit with the anti-inflammatory properties. Otherwise, you probably started taking those things, never really noticed a difference, and been like, oh, my fucking quack, you didn't help me out.
Well, let me give you an example. When people want systemic inflammation, I'll use an extreme example. Okay, everybody's had a fever, right? A fever is a centralized inflammatory response. It's the body attacking, trying to attack this, you know, invading host, whatever it may be. When you have a fever, you're achy everywhere. Your whole body hurts.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great example, an extreme example of systemic inflammation. On what can happen when your body's inflammatory signals or inflammatory system shoots up. Everything hurts.
Everything, yeah.
Everything feels stiff. Everything. So take that down a few notches. You might not be that stiff and that sore, but chronically over time, having, you know, systemic inflammation because you're not paying attention to what you're eating. All you're paying attention to are macronutrients and calories. That will wreak havoc on your body, on your body's health, but it will also wreak havoc on your body's ability to be lean and to perform, to build muscle. So, you know, even for those of you who don't give a shit and just care about what you look like, I'm telling you right now, over time, you're going to want to pay attention. I can't tell you.
Oh, I was.
I cannot tell you how many people I know now that I came up through the ranks in the fitness industry with, because now I'm 36 years old. So all these people now are in their 30s and 40s. And I can't tell you how many of them were like, oh, man, I can't eat gluten anymore. I can't take protein powders anymore. I can't do this anymore because it bothers me. I get sick. But when we were younger, they were doing it like crazy. And over time, you know, their body starts to reject it. Do you think that's now affected their ability to get lean and to perform? Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
I'm so passionate about this topic because this is me. I mean, at 25 years old, after I'd already been weight training already for a good 6+ years, I end up getting psoriasis out of nowhere. That's weird. You know, then I get now into my 30s. I fucking hurt everywhere. Aches and pains and all kinds of stuff. And a lot of this stuff I know is for a long time of poor eating. Poor eating, supplements and taking shit like that, bars and shakes and everything like crazy. Like, I've been doing that for years, and now I can see the difference. I can feel the difference and notice the difference because I've done shows where I've told you guys before, I've run 100% food, and then I've done other shows where I've allowed bars and stuff in there. I still get down to 2% body fat, but I can see and feel a difference on my body. I can see it aesthetically, and it's to maybe the average person can't tell. I can tell, you know what I'm saying, because it's my physique, and then I can feel the difference. And if you talk to me about this, because I knew a lot of this stuff even as a young trainer in my 25. I've already been studying and reading and working for 5 years in the industry. I was pretty knowledgeable by this time, but I still deaf-eared it because you're young and you don't feel that shit right now. Right. So if you're listening right now and you're anywhere between 20 and 30 years old and you don't feel that shit, it doesn't bother you, think you're invincible right now. Oh, you're not. You're not. I thought I was too.
Well, I'm going to say
it's coming, you know.
It's old dinosaur thinking that a calorie is a calorie. It's out. Sorry. That's out. And that only macros count. That's also out. That's dinosaur thinking. We might sound a little revolutionary right now because we're, you know, kind of fitness guys, but the health people and the wellness people have been talking about this for the last 10 years. Forever. And over the next 10 years, you're going to see everybody's going to go on this bandwagon. So everybody right now that's saying, no. It's just proteins, fats, and carbs and calories. It's all about that. It doesn't matter. I swear, I'll bet my house on it. They will be changing their tune in about 5 years because the whole industry is going in that direction, especially as more science is starting to come out. And I want to kind of end on this. You know, I know a lot of us are focused about how we on our looks, on the aesthetics, on my muscles, on my body fat, on how sexy I look. Let me tell you something right now. Nothing is sexier than looking healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And with that, don't forget to subscribe to Mind Pump and please leave us a 5-star rating and review.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.